So if you open with me, the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Chapter 12. Revelation, chapter 12. This is a very interesting chapter. I hope some of you had a chance to read it. We are going to try to make a sense of what's going on here. As we ended the last chapter, when we ended chapter 11, we saw that the seventh trumpet had sounded. But as the seventh trumpet sounded, and what the wrath that is going to come upon the earth, which is the seven bowl judgments, as we see that seven, back in chapter 6, you know, the first we have the seven seal judgments. When the seventh seal opened up, you know, that brought in the seven trumpet judgments. And as the seven trumpet sounds, now the seven bowl judgments are going to come upon the earth. But before that happens, we are not going to, yes, the trumpet has sounded, but we are not going to know what those wrath are until chapter 15. And as I told you last time, when we look at the chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, those three chapters are from the Satan's point of view of what is going on the earth. Okay? And not only just during this seven-year tribulation, yes, the focus is that, but it kind of tells us what is going on from the beginning of times. Okay? And so, as we look at this chapter, just try to pay attention. You know, I'm going to try my best to give you guys what this chapter is trying to say. And in process, we are going to talk about certain teachings that have been gone on for a long time. Okay, which are not from the Bible, but they may come from this chapter. You know, I don't want to call it a false teaching. But I want to just say it's misquoted, you know. So just keep that in mind as well, right? So if you open up your Bible and you see the heading of, at least in my Bible, is the woman, the child, and the dragon, right? That's what it talks about. And these are signs. Okay, so right off the bat, I'm going to tell you something. As we go into the next three chapters, 12, 13, and 14, we are going to meet four people here in this chapter. But then in 13 and 14, we are going to meet three other signs or symbols, right? So the woman here, who the woman is, okay? Who the child is and who the dragon is, right? And then we are going to meet Michael the archangel, okay? When you look at the woman, okay? The woman, there are a lot of different opinions on it. Some people say that it's talking about Mary, okay? Some people say it's talking about church. Some people say, it's Israel. Okay, when we look at the child, that's very easy. That's talking about Jesus, right? Then when we look at the dragon, it's very easy because it says over here, it's the Satan. Okay, so these are not literally a woman and a dragon and a child, right? This is just symbols and sign. And then it talks about the great archangel Michael. Okay, and he's named in here. Later on, what we are going to see, those who were saved, the Gentile bride, Gentiles who were saved during the tribulation, we're going to see a symbol for them. We are also going to see the Antichrist symbol, and then we're going to see the false prophet. Okay, so as we have a Trinity, on the Holy Trinity, right? When we have Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, at the end times, there is an unholy Trinity, which is the Satan, this is the Antichrist, and then a false prophet. Okay, and so as we look at this, verses, and I start reading, I'm going to throw this out at you guys. Okay, I'm going to throw this out at you guys. Let's see what answer you guys give me, right? Where is Satan right now? Has Satan ever seen hell? Has he ever visited hell? Okay, those are some of the things we're going to answer. Okay, and then the looks I'm getting, I think I have gotten you intrigued, right? So let's look at it together and see what this chapter is going to teach us, right? Verse 1, chapter 12, it says, now great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. That then, being with the child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. Okay, right off the bat, it tells you, I saw a great sign. It's not just a sign. It's a great sign. Okay, so this is very, very important. Okay, now when we talk about the sign, right? So I was coming today, right? As I was coming from the home, my home, I take Southern State Parkway. As all of you know, Southern State Parkway ends and it splits into two directions, right? At that point, there is a sign. It says, if you want to go to Brooklyn, take Belt Parkway, right? So if I want to come here, I got to take that road, right? Now it says Brooklyn. Am I in Brooklyn? No, right? If you are driving from state to state, if you're driving from New York to, let's say, Canada, I mean, Canada is a bad example. Let's say you're going to Washington, D.C., and you see a sign for Washington, D.C., take this. Are you in Washington?
No.
No, right? It's just a sign pointing you to where it needs to be. And this is, again, and this is not here, but it is the same thing with the book of Revelation. Because when it talks about signs, as you approach Washington, D.C., right, the signs are more frequent and closer. And that's what happens when we talk about the end times. But that's not our subject today. So here's a sign. It says, now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Okay? So as I opened up, I told you guys that, you know, some people said this is a church. Okay? This cannot be a church, and I'm going to show you that. Okay? I'm going to show you that this cannot be a church. This cannot be Mary. Okay? This cannot be a Mary. Why? Because we'll see later on that it specifically talks about Israel. The woman is the Israel. Now, before we go any further, right? And I might be off on the verses, but you guys can find this. There are four women mentioned in the book of Revelation. There are four women mentioned in the book of Revelation. We have, okay, when we studied the churches, we have in chapter 2, verse 20, we have Jezebel. If you guys remember, right? And she represents the false teaching. She represents the false teaching, if you remember. Okay, when we fast forward to chapter 17, and I believe it's a second verse or a third verse, right? We are going to meet, there is a woman over there, and it's going to speak about a great harlot or a scarlet woman. Okay, and what it talks about there, it is talking about a false religion system. Okay, when we get to chapter 19, it talks about the bride, right? And that's the church, right? So that's the church. And then here is the fourth woman, and this is Israel. Where else do you guys remember it talked about the sun and the moon? Do you guys recall anything from the Old Testament?
Yeah, Joseph's
dream. Yes, Joseph's dream, right? From Genesis 37. That's where this is coming from. If you remember, Joseph said that the sun, the moon, and the 12 stars are going to bow down to me. What was he talking about there? He was talking about the 12 stars? They're the Israel, right? That's Israel eventually. The tribes of Israel. And that's what it is talking about here. So a Jewish person reading the Revelation, for them, there is no doubt about this. That what is being talked about over here, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head, a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. It's not only that she is representing Israel, but this is a pregnant woman, right? And of course, the child that she is going to give birth to is who? Jesus, right? Because the Messiah comes from who? Jesus, right? Israel. That's where it comes from. So that's what it is. That is what it's about. Just keep that in mind. We're coming back to it. Verse 3, it says, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them into the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was in a rule of all nations with rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Where did we learn about the 1,260 days? Just last chapter. What is it talking about? It's talking about the end of the tribulation period, right? So now over here, it says the woman, she fled and she hid, and God took care of her for 12. So what is he talking about? Remember, we talked about at the 3.5 year period, at in the middle of the tribulation, when the great tribulation starts, right? That's when the Antichrist is going to reveal himself as the false Messiah. And it is at this time that they are going to run into the wilderness. And God is going to take care of them for the 3.5 years. So see, this is why I'm saying, how does Mary flee? That's why it cannot be Mary. Okay? It cannot be church. Because what has happened to the church? We are raptured already. Right? We are with God already. So this cannot be the church. It cannot be the church. You know, and there are a lot of Old Testament verses and the scripture that I can give you where it talks about that talks about the woman being Israel and where they are going to flee. Okay, where they are going to flee. Let's see if Holy Spirit brings those things to mind as we are discussing. We will talk about it. So here, another sign appears in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. This is Satan, and we will see that in a few minutes. This is talking about Satan himself. Okay, he has what? He has a fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. Where else do we talk about 10 horns? When do we talk about 10 horns? We talked about it in the Revelation Bible study. Yes, when? When did we talk about 10 horns? Who talks about 10 horns? If you remember chapter 8, as we were going into chapter 7 to chapter 8, we talked about Genesis 15. We talked about Abraham when God promised him that land, there were 10 nations. That's Genesis 15, verse 19. Then when we came to Joshua 3:10, it became 7 nations because the other three were, they fell, and the 7 nation kind of took over them, right? They conquered them. Now, as we were talking about that, when we came to the Revelation, I brought you guys to Daniel chapter 7. If you remember Daniel chapter 7 and verse 7, why don't somebody read it? Because you guys look like it's not coming to your memory. Daniel chapter 7, verse 7. And verse 8.
Verse 7 and 8. After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts and were before it, and it had 10 horns.
See?
I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom 3 of the first horns were plucked out by the roots, and there in the horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words.
You see? So there were 10 horns, right? Just like it was talking about in the book of Joshua, right? And then 3 fell, meaning now there are 7. What is Daniel 7 talking about? It's talking about the end times over here, okay? Now, we are going to discuss this in detail when we get to chapter 17. So I'm not going to go too deep in here, right? But just to give you a little, whet your appetite a little bit, right? When it talks about 7 heads and 10 horns, right? It is talking about there is a city with 7 hills. Which city is that? Rome. Right? Rome. So that's what it is talking about. And that's why many times people say that when the Antichrist comes, it will come from Rome. And specifically they say from the Catholic Church, maybe Pope being the Antichrist. And that's comes all from here. Well, not, it doesn't come from this verse. Now I gotta speak a little bit more. Okay? So when we look at the Antichrist and where it's going to come from, right? It is believed throughout the Bible, it probably comes from the descendants of Esau, the Edomites, right? Because what did Edomites always wanted to do? Edomites always wanted to kill the Israel and destroy the Israel, right? And we're going to look at some examples in a minute, right? Now, fast forward to the time of Jesus, past Jesus, when 70 AD, when the temple was destroyed, right? And there was a siege by the Romans, okay? In 67 AD, Jewish people revolted, right? And they kicked the Romans out. That's why the Romans came back in 70 AD to destroy. And then there has been no Israel after that, right? Until 1948. At that time, there are other people, the King Herod, right? There is Edomites, right? E-D-O-M-I-T-E-S. But then there is another set of people. They come from Edomites, which are Idumites. Right? The Herod was an Idumites. And these people at that time, they all fled to Europe. And that's where they settled. That's where the connection with the Rome comes, that when the Antichrist comes, that's the belief that it will come from these people. Okay? We cannot be dogmatic about this, right? We cannot, nobody knows where the Antichrist is coming from or what nationality is. I'm just trying to give you some information to just keep it in the back of your mind, right? So here we have a dragon. And as I said about this city and about all of those things, we are going to discuss later on in the Bible study. So I'm not spending a lot of time on that. And the seven diadems on his heads, his trail drew a third of the star of heaven and threw them into the earth. And dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth. This is the verse that I wanted you guys to talk about. Okay? Very often, especially if you grew up in the church, right? There is a teaching, and many pastors have done it. Many times you have heard it, right? And until you really do a study, you don't really come to this conclusion. It is taught that in Genesis, when Satan fell, right, he took third of the angels. Nowhere in the Bible it says that. Nowhere in the Bible it says that, except here. There was a book. There was a book written. I think it was called The Perfect Paradise or something, and I forget the author's name. And in that, he mentioned that, and from there, some of those teachings come from. But besides here, it says his tail drew and a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the heaven, to the earth. Okay, this is where it comes from. Most of the pastors teach that when Lucifer fell, there were a third of the angels who rebelled against God. Nowhere it says that. If you actually read Isaiah 14, it never says. It just says Lucifer, right? Right? And when we started, I asked you a couple of questions, right? And I'm going to give you an answer, okay? Satan has not spent a minute in a hell as of right now, okay? Where does Satan stay? He's in heaven. We will see that. He's in heaven. He has an access to heaven. He goes in and out of the heaven, right? And if you don't believe me, right? Revelation chapter 9, verse 1, couple of Bible studies ago, okay? This is what it says in the Revelation, chapter 9, verse 1, if you, some of you remember. It says, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air was darkened because of the smoke of the pit. If you remember this Bible study, I gave you the words and everything that this star it is talking about is Lucifer. It's none other than Satan. So he fell, right? He fell from where? Fallen from heaven to the earth. He was given. Okay? And then later on, if we go back to chapter 12, right? I think it's verse 10. Look at verse 10 in our chapter we are doing right now. It says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren. Who's that accuser? Who's the accuser? Satan, right? Of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. So has he been cast down until now? No. Right? He will be locked up in the hell, right? And we have a false notion to say that Satan is going to be ruling the hell. No, he's not the king of the hell. He's going to be the lowest person in hell. Okay? And that's why he does some of the things that he does right now, because he wants to prolong as long as he can his ultimate fate that is coming to him, right? So here we see that he's ready to devour the child that is coming out of the woman, which is Israel. And we know, if you know our scripture, if you have been part of the Bible study, listening to this Bible study, I know you know everything I'm going to say right now, right? Since Genesis 3:15, right? And I know some of these things that I say to you are elementary. Some of the things you guys know, because I know you guys are students of the Bible, but we don't know who's listening to this recording. So I have to give some background because I cannot assume everybody is at your guys' level, right? So we go back to Genesis 3:15, right? When this promised seed, right? God says there will be a seed. From that day on, it has been Satan's goal, his mission, to kill and destroy that seed. Because if that seed doesn't come, then his life and his death never happens, right? So that's why we see from the day one, when we get into Genesis chapter 4, what happens? He gets Cain ready to kill Abel. And he gets him to kill, right? And then Old Testament, we see that one incident after another, Satan is always after killing the seed. Okay? If you fast forward, and I can give you so many, I'm just going to give you a few, right? You fast forward to Exodus. What did Pharaoh want to do? Kill every single baby, Jewish baby, who was born. What was the purpose? That was not Pharaoh. He was working on the order of Satan, right? Matter of fact, and that verse is not coming to me right now. I think it's Ezekiel 29. I'm not sure. Somewhere in Ezekiel, it actually, God says Pharaoh was a representation of Satan. Comes from a Nile River, the serpent that rises from the Nile River. I'll give you that preference right now. I mean, later on. And it's talking about Pharaoh, okay? So what did he want to do? He wanted to get rid of the Jewish nation, right? You fast forward to the book of Esther and Haman. What did he want to do? Get rid of everybody, right? You fast forward to the Samuel, right? Saul. What did he want to do? He wanted to kill David. David is finished. No Israel, right? Who is the seed of David? Right? Yes. No David, no Jesus. Okay? It gets to the point. Okay? It gets to the point. Right? If you go to 2 Chronicles, and you guys can read this in your own time, right? You go to 2 Chronicles, you read chapter 21 and 22. Particularly, end of chapter 22, right? The genealogy, or when you look at the lineage, when you look at the descendant of Jesus, the line he's supposed to come, it gets down to one. The guy named Joash, right? His, the queen, I think the queen's name was Ethiar. She killed all the king's son. The maid took this guy and hid him, right? Joash. It got down to one, but God is faithful. God is faithful. And you know what? Why I'm going through this, all of these things? Yes, to go through this Revelation chapter and just to give you a complete picture of what is going on, right? But it got down to one person, King Joash, right? How can we not trust this God? Right? How can we not trust this God? What is it that's going in our life and we think that everything is falling apart? Right? We think, oh, look at this world, it's falling apart. No, everything is falling in place. Right? Everything is falling in place. And it is the same thing for our life. Sometimes it may feel like God cannot sustain me. Satan is too strong. You know, oh, all the circumstances and all the troubles and the trials that I have, how am I going to get over it? Remember that story of 2 Chronicles chapter 22. It got down to one child. He was not even a man. He was a child. And God, from that point, we know what happened. And God took care of everything else. Remember, you could be at your last stage, right? As it says, you know, there's a famous saying, when you have tried all the keys in your key ring, it's usually the last key that opens up the door. Right? It's the last key that opens up the door. So don't give up. Okay, just stay faithful. Just stay obedient to God because he's able to do what he has promised. You know? So when we look at that, it gets down to one person. Okay? You fast forward all the way to New Testament. What happens when Jesus is born? The King Herod says, everybody under age 2, right? They did not want Messiah, right? So this Satan, right? Satan, as powerful, as resourceful he might be, right? He couldn't stop the birth of Jesus, right? He couldn't kill him. He couldn't stop his ministry, right? And he was defeated on the day Jesus was resurrected. Okay, Jesus was resurrected. So this guy, he's, you know, and there are two camps. And I want you to understand this, okay? There is a camp that is like, oh, I'm so afraid of Satan. And then there is other camp, completely opposite. Oh, I'm not afraid of Satan. He can't do nothing for me, okay? But remember book of Jude, okay? The archangel Michael didn't even take on Satan. He said, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. The Lord rebukes you. This is the archangel. He was an equal to Lucifer. And even then, he doesn't take on Satan. We have to have a healthy respect or healthy fear, right? Understand who he is. We don't need to be afraid of him because we are covered by the blood of Christ. Right? So don't be too extreme. Realize who this person is, you know, and live accordingly. So as we look at this, right, see, this Satan throughout the history. So now, just in these few verses, we went from creation all the way to tribulation. Remember that, okay? She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now, I don't have to tell you who this is, right? This is Jesus. And from this point on, actually, matter of fact, last chapter, I don't know if I mentioned that, right? But there is a lot of Psalm 2 into the rest of the Revelation. So if you go home and you read Psalm 2, it talks about the rod of iron. It comes from that. That's a messianic psalm. It talks about Jesus and his kingdom. Okay? So when you look at that, it is talking about, bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now, what does rod of iron tell you? Iron is an unbreakable metal, right? Strong. And he's ruling with rod of iron, meaning he's strict, right? He's strict. Keep that in back of mind as we get to the end of the thing. I want to show you something. And he says, then woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Okay. So what is this talking about, right? And I go back to the third of the angels falling with Satan. Okay. When he takes that, right? It could not be talking about Genesis account, because what it says, when she fell, that's when these people go and run, right? What we just read in the first six verses, it's talking about it's taking place in the time of tribulation. Am I right? Is that how everybody else reads it? Right? This is taking place, right? And another sign appeared in heaven. Who is watching these signs? John, right? He's not watching it in Genesis. He's watching it in the time of the tribulation. Okay? So just keep that in mind. Verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Okay? Now there was found no place for them in heaven any longer. So now there could be two possibilities, okay, and I'm not going to be dogmatic about it. Look at what verse says. Verse 5 says, right? It says, she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. So it could be talking about Jesus' death and his ascension. When that happened, that's when this war broke out in the heaven. Okay, it could be speaking about that at that time, Satan was trying to do something, and that's when the war broke out. The second possibility that I want to give you, right, and I think this is the one that makes more sense, right, because Satan is still in heaven, is perhaps this is talking about the rapture. That Satan is doing, as we are being raptured, Satan is trying to do something to stop. And if you actually look at the language in the Greek, right? It literally says that Michael did not have a choice to get into this fight. Satan made it in a way that Michael had to join this war. Okay? So Michael, whenever we look at Michael the Avenger, he's not a messenger. He's not Gabriel, right? He's always a defender of the people, right? He always protects the people of God. Okay? And where where I got where I'm getting this, or just to show you a biblical example of this, turn with me to the book of Daniel. I know we are going a lot of places. There are more places we're going to be going. So keep your Bibles handy. Go to chapter 10, Daniel chapter 10. Okay. I think let's start at verse 6. We want to be in verse 13, but we'll start at verse 6, right? It says, his body was like a barrel, his face like appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. Okay, what is it talking? It's talking about an angel. Actually, I should read earlier than that. Verse 5, it says, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in a linen, whose waist was girded with gold of upas. Okay? And it's talking about this person. As we read, and Daniel alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Okay, now listen carefully. Okay, listen carefully. It says, suddenly a hand touched me, with which made me tremble on my knees and on the palm of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, main greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. Who has been sent to Daniel? An angel has been sent to a Daniel. Okay? Remember that. Keep that in mind. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Now look at this. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. What is it talking about? If you know the book of Daniel, and I know some of you do, at this point, Daniel was praying. Right? Daniel was praying. That's why it says over here, humble yourself before your God. Your words were heard. Who hears the prayers? God hears the prayer. And in the response to hearing that prayer, God had sent this angel. Okay, I'm giving you guys a background. Just, I'm going to bring it all together to chapter 12 in a minute, okay? And I have come because of your words. Meaning, because as an answer to your prayer, I have come. Okay? So what does it say in verse 13? Look at this. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia. When you read that, the kingdom of Persia, it is talking about Satan. Okay? It's talking about the Satan. Because if you go to, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, you go to verse 8, 9, all these kingdoms that are outside of Israel, they are in the domain of Satan. And that's why it says the prince of Persia. Okay? He's a Satan. Which stood me, how many days?
21
days he was battling. Why was he battling? And where was this battle taking place? Somewhere in the middle. You know, I don't have a time to go to the third heaven and all of those things. You know, there is a whole spiritual world that is, the battle is taking place, right? So this angel who's coming as an answer to a prayer, the prince of Persia stops him. Why? Because he does not want him to give the answer to Daniel. Okay? So the quick lesson to all of us, right? Sometimes when we pray and we don't get the answer right away, could it be the angel who has been sent is fighting a spiritual battle somewhere? You know, we want an instant answer. We think, why is God not answering? Perhaps there is a whole spiritual warfare that's taking place, you know, and that's what is stopping the answer. Here for 21 days, Daniel probably thought, nobody heard my prayer. That was not the case. As soon as God heard the prayer, the angel was sent. But the prince of Persia stopped that. Okay? So let's look a little bit, right? It says, withstood me 21 days, and behold, who came? Michael. One of the chief princes came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come, right? So now this angel, and we saw the description of angel. What a marvelous person he is. What a creature he is, right? He was strong. For 21 days he's fighting. He cannot get a victory. Until when? Michael has to show up. Michael has to show up. And Michael says, okay, you go. I got this. Okay? And this is why I'm saying when we talk about the rapture of the church. Okay? What happens to if you go to Jude? Okay? If you go to Jude and if you go to the, I think, verse 9, it talks about Satan, right? Satan came to get Moses' body. Right? And Archangel Michael and the Satan fought over the body of Moses. You know, and I'm not going into detail why they were fighting over them. You know, you can, I think the teaching is on the blog. You can pick it up. You can listen to the different reasons why there was a battle for the Moses' body. Right? Perhaps Satan wanted to stop him from appearing at the transfiguration. Right? Perhaps he wanted to make an idol out of Moses. Perhaps he was accusing Moses because Moses was a murderer, right? And he said, well, how can he go to heaven? Whatever his reasoning might have been, right? There was that battle between Archangel Michael and, right? And I think here in Daniel chapter 12, if somebody can look and see, there is another reference to it. So what I'm trying to show you guys here is this battle, the spiritual battle that is taking place. Perhaps as the church is being raptured, this battle is taking place in heaven between Michael and the Lucifer, the Satan, his angels and the angels of Michael. So that's where we are. So getting back to chapter 12, I think we are on around verse 7, right? But they did not prevail. Verse 8, it says, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, but the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You know what is going to make that last 3.5 years great tribulation? Because Satan and his army are going to be cast down to the earth, and now this is going to be their playground. This is going to be their playground. Remember, when you look at chapter 9, if you remember, we just read about the pit. When he opens up the pit, those demons that are coming out of the pit are not from heaven. Those are locked in the pit, right? Now, there are some serious demons there. They are serious demons, right? And that place, pit, is not any... It's not a resort, right? If you remember the example of the Jesus as when he heals that man who's possessed with demons, right? Perhaps 2,000 of them, when he takes them out, even the demons say, "Don't send us to pit, right? Send us to pit, right?" And so even demons are afraid to go into the pit. Those were the demons that were unleashed. Later on in the chapter 9, it said those demons, right, the army of the 200 million, those demons that were locked up at the bank of the Euphrates River, they were unleashed and they came as a locust. Now, all of those demons are operating here on the earth. And now those from the heaven and their leader are cast down to the earth, and together they are going to cause havoc here in here on the earth. Okay, remember that. You know, when we go to that, you know, I mentioned the demons that were cast out and who didn't want to go into the pit, and then they were sent into the pigs, right? The swine, so to speak, and then the swine killed themselves. Very often, you know, we think that why did Jesus? And I have seen this question. Why did Jesus destroy so many swine? Jesus didn't destroy swine. Okay? He didn't. He simply told the demons to go in there. It was the demons who threw themselves into the water. Okay? But that's neither here or there. But you see, sometimes Satan creates some doubts like this. That why would Jesus do this? You know? It just helps to, you know, go back to the scripture. What does Satan do? What is Satan is called? He says, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast. Right? That has been his MO from day one. He deceives people. What did he do to Eve? He deceived her. And I you know, in an interest of time, I'm not going to give you all the examples. But when we come to this time, he's going to deceive the Jewish nation into thinking that the Antichrist is a Messiah. Right? He is a deceiver and he's going to deceive until the end time. Until that last day, he is going to deceive people. Let's move on and let's finish this chapter in the time allotted to me. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Once again, we see worship being taking place in heaven. Once again, right? We saw that in chapter 4. We saw that in chapter 5. We saw that in chapter 8. We saw that in the last chapter 11. Now again here in chapter 12, we see that there is worship being taking place, right? The key word is brethren, right? So these are saved people who are talking, right? Because angels are not our brothers, right? Who are our brothers? Only other fellow believers are called our brethren. So this is not angels speaking. This is saved people who have their salvation, right? Plus it says, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God is cast down. So these are saved people he's talking about. They are worshiping. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Please underline this verse in your Bible. Please, you know, if you are a person who likes to highlight, if you like to underline, this is a very, very important verse. Okay, what does he so say over there? And they overcame. Who overcame? All these saints that we are talking about in chapter 10. They overcame because they were the member of a church. They gave their tithes regularly. They took baptism. They took communion regularly. That's why they overcame. Is that what your Bible says?
No.
Right? Why did they overcome? How do we overcome?
By the blood of the Lamb.
And by the word of their testimony, okay? And they did not love their lives to death, right? What does the Bible say? Carry your cross. We are to die to ourselves, right? To die to ourselves. I'm going to give you something that God put in my heart, right? And I didn't even know until now when I read this, right? If you go to, I think it's John chapter 13, and I'm still developing this, right? I'm still trying to think myself. But I'm going to tell you guys, right? It talks about over there, right? It's chapter 13, when God is talking to Peter, right? Peter says, oh, if all of them leave you, I will not leave you. I will lay down my life for you, right? And in the context, if you understand that, he's talking about, if I have to die for you, I will die for you, right? But then Jesus answers him, laying down your life, you will deny me. Right? The interesting thing, what I want to share with you guys is laying down your life. You see, we misunderstand that. Because dying is easy. Okay? Dying is easy. Laying down your life is very hard. Because what it's literally talking about is live a life, lay down your life every day, denying those things that matter to your flesh. Your desires, your needs, your aspirations, your ambitions, lay them down and you live for me. You know, and that's what it is saying over here. And this is how Holy Spirit works, right? Because when I was reading that, I had no idea about this. Until I read right now, and this is how Holy Spirit guides you into the word, right?
So there's a present continuous. Keep on dying.
Keep on dying.
In other words.
Right. Every day.
Every day. Yeah.
Every day we are to make choices, right? When we want to, when somebody says something that offends us and we want to go back and insult them, right? Die to yourself.
Right.
Right. Carry your cross. Die to yourself.
Right.
You know, there are certain things we want to do. No, I don't want, it's Friday night. I don't want to study the Bible today. You know, I don't want to study the Bible. No, die to yourself and spend time with God. You know, to live a life, right? What does Romans 12, 1 say? I beseech you, brethren, be a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
Right? Not conforming. It says over there in the second verse, not conforming to the world. So we are not to conform to that. And that is laying down your life. And that's what over here it says, right? It says, verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, overcame him, right? Who's him? Satan. Satan, remember earlier I was talking about that we don't need to be, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to their death. You know, very important couple of verses. You know, there's worship and there's a wonderful encouragement to all of us how we are to live our life. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time.
Yes.
You see why I asked you the question, is devil in hell? He has 1260 days. That's what he has left.
Short time.
Very short time, you know. So, and if you go to Daniel 12, you know, we don't have time. It's already, we are almost at the end of the Bible study. If you go and read Daniel 12, over there, you will see Michael, and over there it will say 1290 days. There are 30 days, right? And there are a lot of discussion about that. It's perhaps a mop-up time to the wreckage that has been created, for the 7 years that has come on the earth, right? Verse 13, it says, now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Okay, who's the woman represent?
Israel.
Right? And the male child is Jesus, right? What does Satan do? As we discussed, he always wanted to kill Jesus, that promised Messiah, that promised seed, right? But when that did not happen, what did Jesus do? I mean, what did the Satan want to do? Wants to destroy Israel. If you know now why there is so much anti-Semitism, if you want to know why there is such hatred toward Israel, because if there is no Israel, none of the prophecies come true. You see, none of the prophecies come true if there is no Israel, right? When we talk about trying to destroy the Jews, right? In our recent history, how can we forget Hitler, right? But, and it's always a good, it's an awesome, the but is an awesome word, right? But God. Whenever we see that in Bible, I often tell you guys, when you introduce God into your situation, there is nothing impossible, right? So that Hitler and that World War II and that concentration camp, right? What did that do? That gave birth to the nation of Israel, because there was so much sympathy for the Jews that they carved out that little piece of land where they belong, and Israel was birthed. The only nation ever to come back after extinction. There has been no other, there has been no other people, there has been no other nation in the history of the world who have vanished, they have been destroyed, they have been driven out of their land and came back to reestablish their nation. And you know, all the people who tried to destroy them, okay, whether it was whether it was the Assyrians, or whether it was the Babylonians, or whether it was the the Greeks, okay? There are so many of them who came. I think there are 11, 12 nations who tried to destroy it, right? The Ottomans, all of them, they tried to came and destroy Israel. They are nowhere to be found, but Israel is still alive, okay? And what happens here, in this 3.5 years, it says, the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth. He persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child, but the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and time and a half time. Okay? When you read that chapter, Daniel chapter 12, you will find the same language there. Time and a times and a half time. It's talking about the same thing. Okay? One misunderstanding that I want to clear over here, right? So often, some people teach that when it talks about the wings of the great eagle, they say it is talking about United States of America, because our symbol is, of course, eagle, right? But that's not what it's talking about here, right? It's not some that, God is going to send all the B-52s or whatever planes we have, and they're going to carry the Israel. That's not what it's talking about. This language you find in the Old Testament, and despite our time restriction, I'm going to take you to two verses. Somebody read Exodus chapter 19, verse 4, and somebody else read Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9 to 12. Exodus 19, 4, and Deuteronomy chapter 32, 9 to 12. Whoever finds it.
Deuteronomy 32:9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the wasteland, howling wilderness. He encircled him, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye, as his eagle stirs up its nets, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. So the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign God with him.
See, it's talking about the eagle. It's talking about the eagle wings, right? Let's read. You have Exodus 19:4?
Exodus 19.
Yeah. I believe that's the, I hope I'm right. Anybody who has it, read it.
You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle wings and brought you to myself.
You see, so this language that we read in chapter 12 here, right? And it's talking about that the two wings were given, right? It's this language we have seen in Old Testament. And all we need to read into this is supernaturally, right? We don't know how, right? We don't know how, but supernaturally, God is going to take them and put them in the place of safety. And as we read earlier, for 1260 days, he's going to take care of them, right? So that's what it is talking about. If you go to Isaiah, I can give you another few verses, but if you, everybody here remembers Isaiah chapter 40, right? How you will renew your strength like eagles,
yes,
right? If you go to Psalm 91, right? It says, I will hide you under my wings. Right, so there are tons of references, and I think that's what it is just playing on. Remember, this is a Jewish person reading it, right? It's not an Indian person reading it, right, who has read New Testament. They are reading it from the Old Testament glasses, so it has to make sense to them, okay? Where were we? I totally lost my brain. So the great, we were in 13, 14, but the woman was given two wings of the great eagle, and she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time from the presence of the serpent. Okay, so now this Satan, the serpent, is not going to be able to touch this Israel. Right, somebody please take out Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. It is talking about this time when the persecution is going to come. Jesus talks about it, right? This is the teaching by Jesus. Right, the Olivet discourse. If you have it, please read it.
The master of the servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of.
That's Matthew 24:15.
Yeah, 15.
1:5.
5:0.
No, 15. 1:5.
Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation,
stop right there. Abomination of desolation, which is mentioned in the book of Daniel, which happens at the 3.5 period when the Antichrist will sacrifice in the right. So that's, I'm just trying to show you the period, right? The Bible never contradicts. See, this is, Jesus spoke of the same thing. That when this happens, here we are reading the same thing. Go ahead, read the rest of it. Next couple of verses, okay?
Spoken of by Daniel, the prophet, standing in the holy place. Whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be winter or on the Sabbath.
Okay, that's it. You see what he's talking about? right? He's talking about this time. He's talking about this time when they have to flee, right? And there are two places he's talking about. I'm going to give you very quickly. I don't have time to give you the verses. We don't have time to read it, right? But one place they say is right as you cross Jordan on the east. There is the Moab and Amorites. Their city, do not destroy. It says it in the Bible, okay? Perhaps they're going to flee there, and perhaps these guys are going to become Christian, okay? The other place it talks about is they're going to go to Petra, the city built by Esau, the Edomites, because it's a fortress, right? Only one person can. It is believed that Petra can be defended by only 7 or 8 people. Because the way it is built, the army cannot come and invade, okay? That's in Jordan. You know, and when you talk about Petra, you know, for the longest time, people questioned Bible regarding Petra, okay? Until, guess what? Earlier in this century, they found Petra, and we can go and visit Petra right now. Anytime Bible talks about any kind, any of the archaeological stuff, Bible has always been proven right. Always, you know? And so when we talk about the city, perhaps they are going to flee to the city of Petra, and they're going to be protected. But the key point over here is the Satan is going to know where they are, but he's not going to be able to touch them. Okay, he says, right over here, he says, halftime, from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up his mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of the offsprings who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay? And what it's talking about here, right? He couldn't touch them, so he was trying to cause a some kind of a natural disaster that would be trouble for them, right? And when you look at this, your mind, or the person, Jewish person, should mind should go to where? Red Sea, right? That we did not drown in the Red Sea, okay? The other thing that your mind should go to is Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. That is the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, right? What happened over there? If you remember, they rebelled against Moses. They wanted to be the leader. Why is Moses the leader? And then Moses said, okay, tomorrow you come and we'll let God decide, right? And then they had those rods. Everybody bought a rod, and whoever's rod buds is the one who God approves. And of course, we know Aaron's rod budded. And then the earth opened up, and then there, right? And that's what he's exactly talking about here. The earth opened up and took all this water in. And that really pissed Satan off, right? It says, but the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened his mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. Who's the rest of her offspring? Those who are being saved during tribulation, right? Look what it says, the last verse, right? Who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, right? Jesus Christ. There was one thing that I wanted to show you as soon as I can find it, and we will close this Bible study. Does anybody see the word ruled? How can I not see that? I heard the word ruled over the world. The iron rod. Where is the iron rod? Which verse is iron rod?
5.
Verse 5?
Yeah, verse 5.
Yeah, he says, so see, Bora Melchard, who was to rule all nation with a rod of iron, right? I forgot to mention this, but it's an important point, and we will be done in a minute, right? That word ruled, if you look at it in the Greek, right? Those of you who have a blue letter Bible, you can go and check it out, right? It says, that word over there is poimenion, okay? That word, when translated, literally means a shepherd. Somebody who tends to sheep and to a flock. Okay? And that's the point I wanted to close with, right? It says over here that he rules with a rod of iron. But then there is the tender side where he's a shepherd. You see? That word. And actually, if you look at it in the New Testament, when he talks about pastor, the pastors are called poino, which literally means a shepherd. If you go to the book of Ezekiel, it talks about my shepherds are the ones who are taking advantage of, right? We go to John chapter 10. It talks about a shepherd. The sheep knows the voice of the shepherd.
Good shepherd, yeah.
Right? So this male child, Jesus, yes, he's going to rule with the rod of iron. Because remember, when his kingdom comes, there are not just all saved people. There are still Gentiles left. To them, he's going to rule them with the rod of iron. But to us, he's going to be a shepherd. Right? And then I don't have to remind you guys, Psalm 23, right? Mm-hmm. The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one who's going to lead us to the green pasture. He is the one, who guides us by the still water, right? So he's a shepherd. He's a shepherd. And that's a very important thing to remember. And as we close this, you know, at another place, I'm teaching a book of Joshua, you know, and as we look at the book of Joshua and we look at the example of Rahab, right? Jericho was going to be destroyed. But for Rahab, Joshua brought salvation and freedom. He was a savior for Rahab, right? But for the rest of the people in the Jericho, he was the judge and an executioner, right? He was the judge and an executioner. The difference between the two was Rahab believed and others did not believe. They had heard the same stories that Rahab heard. They had heard about what happened at Red Sea. They heard about the army. Rahab chose to believe. The rest of the people did not choose to believe. And my brothers and sisters, whoever you are who's listening, okay, whether online or in future sometime recording, Joshua is Jesus. Joshua is a type of Jesus. When Jesus was growing up in Israel, in the Bethlehem, he was probably called Joshua. Okay? Yahweh is my salvation. And to those of us who have not yet accepted Christ, Jesus can be your savior or he can be your judge. You need to decide what do you want him to be. Do you want him to be your savior? Then believe in him. Believe that he is the Messiah. Believe that it's through his lamb that you can overcome Satan. But if you don't believe, you have a chance until you take that last breath. If you do not believe, then he will be your judge. Yeah, face the judgment and then the lake of fire. Oh, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you and praise you for this time, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful words that you have given to us, Lord. And as we see the destruction that is coming, Lord, I pray for those who have yet to surrender themselves to you, Lord. And I pray that you open their heart, Lord. Knock on their heart. Soften their heart, Lord. And I pray that you put people into their path who are going to share the gospel with them, Lord. We just thank you for our salvation, Lord. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb that helps us to overcome those things that can hinder us, Lord. So we just thank you, praise you. We love you, Jesus. It's in your mighty name that we pray. Amen. Amen.